Okay. I think started record. Yeah, good to go. So what's going
AJ,
on? Yeah, that's
what's
me.
good, brother?
Good,
What's
good.
going on?
Good,
Good to
good,
see you
good.
today.
Same here. So for today, we're talking about something everybody needs to know about. That's the IUL.
Exactly. IUL, that's life insurance.
I mean, it's
And
more than
like,
life insurance. I don't call it life insurance. Just, I mean, on the book, right? You know, yeah, it's life insurance. But personally, I don't call it life insurance because it's more than that. But what do you call
well,
it?
in my opinion, I think of it like transferring risk with a contract. You or me, as the person who buys the insurance, I'll be paying the premium, and that premium, over time, like if I pass away, will go to my beneficiaries that I've named when I sign that contract.
You see, that's why for me, I don't call it just life insurance because you basically just talk about the whole life insurance, like a whole life, because they have the whole life, they have the term life, they have the group life. You know, for the term life, they tell you that you have to die within 20 years, 30 years. If you don't die within 30 years, it's over. That's the contract you're talking about. For the for the group life, that's like you want to get from your job. And when he tells you have to die in your job, like if you don't die in your job, you don't get nothing. That's the contract. Then for the whole life, yes, that one goes on forever, right? You know, that one you can go on like till forever till you're 100 years old. You know, when you die, that's when you get, you know, the contract with your, you know, for your loved ones. But there's no like living benefits. What if it's only when you die you want to benefit from what you have, what contract you had? So for me, is that living benefit there that makes me look see it as not just a life insurance?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm grateful for you to like explain this for me and walking me through it. I'm treating this like a podcast segment, so I can ask the questions that any buyer that is doing their research or their due diligence should ask. That's the
Yeah.
main purpose of this podcast, because I
Right.
want to understand the exact problem that the life insurance solves for my situation, and the math behind the numbers, whether it's
Yeah.
the cost structure, the company, the
Right.
incentives, the details of all the contracts.
Yeah,
So
it's a lot. It's a lot. You know, that this is the reason why, you know, when something happens to some people, they tell you, "Oh, I hate insurance." You know, because like what you just talked about right now, it sounds like a lot of stuff going on because it's just like a car insurance, right? When some people, one of my friends told me that, hey, you know, my car got damaged, but the insurance company don't want to pay for my car. But he didn't understand the kind of policy he had. He didn't know that he didn't protect himself against, you know, his own car. He had a policy that protect just the person he's gonna hit, right? So this is something that people need to like listen and learn because there's a lot of information, you know. Like there's a lot of questions you can ask, but if you're able to understand what a particular policy is all about, those questions you might even have, you don't even need to ask it anymore, you know. So example, I just talked about different type of insurance, right? And
of course.
the reason why I tell you that this is more than insurance because it has that living benefit whereby, for example, if you have like a chronic illness, like cancer, kidney issues, you're on dialysis, you have some people who have what they call ALS, who have a stroke, you know, you can get your money out of the policy. It pays you out from your death benefits. If you have a critical, like maybe the doctor says you have 12, less than 12 years to live, it pays you up to 90% from your policy, from your death benefits. So it's more than just when you die. You understand? It covers you while you're here. And this, I can go on and on, right? We can talk about the fact that it also serve as a compound interest effect. You know, I don't know if you know about compound interest. Compound
Well,
interest.
Yes, I have heard about compound interest.
Do you know? Do you know what Herbert Hertzsprung said about compound interest? He says compound interest is the eighth wonders of the world, right? He said he who understands it, earns it. He who does not, pays it. I don't know if you kind of understand what he said there. So he's trying to say, if you understand compound interest, you're going to earn it. If you don't understand it, you're going to pay it. And I know almost everybody in America is paying it. Why? If you have student loan, if you have a mortgage, if you have a credit card, you're paying it. Because that's how
right,
compound interest is calculated. Yeah.
The more often interest is added,
yes,
like daily, monthly, or yearly, the faster the money grows. It's like
exactly.
A snowball effect.
Okay, thank you. So that's what it means when it says you are paying it. But when you are earning it, is when you have this account, this kind of account, this IUL, you're earning it because your money you're putting in is compounding, is increasing after some years. It doesn't go by the market effect. The market can crash today and your 401k can go to like minus, or your Roth can go to minus. But with this account, it doesn't. You know, it has a level where it can't go down past that level.
Well, tell me, what specific financial problem is this policy designed to solve for me and my family?
Yeah, it's designed to solve problems whereby the unforeseen happens. Like, you know, not just like there are so many things, you know, this problem, this insurance is does, right? Some when you have like a home insurance, okay, when your home get caught fire, or you have a car insurance when your car is no longer working, or maybe you got an accident. But for this policy like this, right, it covers you as an individual, you who work, who make that money, you know. For like I just yeah. like I said, if you stop working, why did you stop working? Maybe medical reasons. Because you agree with me that one of the biggest cost of poverty in America is always critical chronic illness, whereby people who own a house before get diagnosed with something and they can't pay for that house anymore because they got sick, they become homeless or stay in nursing homes. But with this account, you are protected. You can pay off your house with, you know, if you have a policy of like $1 million or $2 million, that's enough to pay off your house. You're able to survive until you get back to your feet. You understand? So that's a big plus for a family. You know, you don't have to depend on your loved ones or your kids to take care of you. You're covered, you know? So this is something that people don't know about.
Well, what happens to the coverage and cost if my needs change in 5 to 10 years, if my kids are like mortgage paid,
yeah,
income changes, the kids have moved out of the house, what happens?
Yeah, you know, that's a nice one there, because you know that I'm glad I talked about the compound interest, right? So
yeah.
your money is not just sitting there like a bank account where they are paying you, where you are getting 0.1 interest in your bank. You're putting money there and it's just sitting there. This money is also compounding. So there's a portion where you have your own, where you have your like your, how do I put it, your premium benefits, your premium pay. So I can maybe one day I can show you the logs to see you know, different numbers there. You know, so your money is also compounding. Your money is increased after some time. So let's say you couldn't pay anymore. Maybe you after like 10 years. You know, things happened, you feel like, okay, I'm good for now, or I don't have enough money to pay for this policy. It pays itself. You know, you can set it up in a way that it's going to be paying you forever, like to a particular, you know, time. So it's not a kind of policy what like the regular life insurance where if you stop paying, that's the end of the insurance, you know. It doesn't have that, you know, that downside. For this, it keeps on going. It takes money from your death benefits to pay for itself. You understand? So, I mean, it's been going on for a while now, and people have been benefiting from it. Just that people don't know about it. That's the thing. That's why it's still like kind of behind there. Yeah.
And you're saying this one is, this type of policy is different versus pure term.
Right.
The period of the highest need.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It gives you access to money, you know. It can either withdraw money as a loan or as a as a regular withdrawer. So the regular insurance, regular term, you know, we all know about, doesn't have that benefit. So it's set up in a way that you can even set up as an autopilot. You know, you explain that after funding the policy for the plan premium paying period, the policy may will be set up in a way that it can become, it can pay itself like autopilot. So those term or whatever, they don't have those things, you know. So let me ask you this now. Have you seen any situation where someone can put their money somewhere and maybe come back in like 20 years time and the money is going to still have the same value?
Well, if you put your money under your mattress and you come back 20 years later, it'll still be the same amount. Matter of fact, it'll be worse value because it's
exactly right. Yeah.
So you want to put it on a vehicle that accumulates interest or compounds in interest over time.
Right.
There are different kinds of tools that do that. Crypto is one of them.
But you know, crypto.
IUL is one of them.
Yeah, but you know, crypto has that variable effect.
Yes, crypto is a volatile asset. It also has a highly variable interest rate depending on the market conditions. But it doesn't negate the fact that it's still a valid tool. If you are projecting long-term investment, crypto is a good asset to hold.
Yeah, I mean, stock markets, maybe I would say crypto, if it's dead, it's dead, you know. Stock, you can still wait for it to get back to the market, get back. But for crypto, I did a lot of crypto. I made some money, lost a lot of money. I just feel like, you know, it's a way for people to go in and grab out. If you are quick enough, you succeed. If you're not, you lose out. You know, compared to stocks, it's longer. You can be in there for many years. But for crypto, I'm not sure if you can, you know, continue for that long.
The jury is still out. We still have time. Over time, we'll decide. Crypto as an asset class has only been out since 2009. It hasn't been out very long. So, and now we're in a down market. So, and it feels like it may be the end of that asset class. We still have to give it some time to see if it'll actually make a turnaround. Yeah. I think it will.
Okay. But
switching back to IUL, right? It's something for me that I've heard before. I've heard it multiple times. But anytime I hear it, certain specific questions pop up. And I'm wondering to myself, which one of them is, if I already have any group or individual coverage, like group coverage from like my employer, for instance, how does that interact with it? Am I overinsured at this point?
Not necessarily that, no. You know, it's all have different, you know, all I put it, it's a different policy. So I know the bottom line is that when we die, our beneficiary get paid. So it's like, there's nothing too small, right? If you can afford it, if you can afford to get a lot of investment, a lot of insurance, I don't think it's too small. You know, it depends on how much more you can afford. But as long as you understand what you're signing, what you have, you know, the main purpose of we talking about this again is to educate people, educate you, you know, make you understand what you have. You know, like what you said about the group life from your job, you know, they might not tell you, but it covers the jobs more. It covers your company more. You know, it covers them because sometimes things happen and people die at a job, right? then you want to find a way to sue the job or sue them or get something from the job to pay for the family. That's where the company goes to your life, goes to the life insurance that you had and pay for you, for your family. You know, but if it happens that you die somewhere else, you know, maybe in an accident or somewhere, that group life doesn't cover nothing. So it's like you're just paying money from your paycheck, you know, for nothing. Just so, but for IUL, right? IUL, it entails everywhere. And even if someone died at a job, died at school or died anywhere, they still get covered. So that's a major difference between the group life from the job and you know, and what's it called, from anywhere else. So one thing again I'd like to add about the IUL is the probate court. I'm sure you've heard about probate court before. Probate.
Robert, okay.
Yeah. You know.
That's the government. They'll take. I've heard if you pass on and you don't
Yeah.
have heirs or beneficiaries to your asset,
Yeah.
it gets sent to probate court for to decide.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, any account, like you said, any accounts or assets held in a person's name may become part of the probate process. You know, including your checking accounts, savings accounts, CDs, Roth IRAs, 401k stocks, crypto, 529, you know, college funds. Depending on ownership and the beneficiary arrangements, probate can take even years to resolve. If you recall when the CEO of the founder of Cash App died in San Francisco, young guy, I think he was shot or something, I can't remember. He died.
He got stabbed on the street, yeah.
Exactly. What happened? The family had to do a GoFundMe. You can imagine. They started begging for funds. GoFundMe is pretty much you begging people for to help you.
Yeah, you're begging for money, right?
Yeah. So what do you
Why
think
was
happened?
that? He didn't have any life insurance.
Exactly. That's what, you know, it tells you there. There was no life insurance to cover that. You know, if not, I mean, if not for probate, if there was no probate, then they would have got money from his bank account or from his, you know, assets. But, you know, with probate court, your family is gonna go astray and looking for ways to get help. And again, it's not about they are not just gonna hold like stop you from getting money, but all the bills he was owing, maybe he had a mortgage or whatever, everything he was owing. You know, they have to pay those things first from his assets. So at the end of the day, there might not be no money for the beneficiary, you know, because all the debt he was owing was taken away by probate. But with IUL, no, it doesn't go through probate court. They pay the beneficiary right away. So that's another, you know, thing to talk about too. And even taxes too, you know. We all talk about taxes every day. Tax, tax, tax. You know, this is an account that most rich people use to bypass taxes. You know. Do you have I don't know if you have 401k or you probably know about 401k a lot, right? Yeah. 401k, we're not paying taxes right now. We are paying taxes when we get the money out later. That's our 401k setup. Roth, it's pretty much you pay now, but when you get later, you don't pay. You know, but for IUL, you're not paying taxes now, also you're not paying later. As long as you go with what the IRS allows you don't put too much money, you don't take out too much, you know. So that's another benefit there we need to talk about with the IUL, tax-free death benefits. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean there's a lot of over 62 benefits of IUL, but you know it's
That's
a
nice.
lot.
But and that's
Yeah.
a independent universal life, right?
Index universal life index, because it deals with index funds, you know, it goes with index funds, it goes with the markets. I mean, to me, like, I mean, well, like what you asked about if someone, well, somebody had something else already, you know, group life or term life, you think you have these two? I would say go with the best option. Look at everything because we learn every day. Like for me, I'm still learning, right? There might be some stuff I'm saying today that's okay. I there are some information I need to correct, but at least I know the basics. At least we should know the basics, you know, of everything. It's pretty much straightforward there. Group life, term life, whole life, they all have their difference. And the basic thing is that, you know, you don't get no living benefits like the IUL. You need to add it on, you know, one way or the other. So which one is better? Benefiting when we are alive or benefiting when we die? You know, I don't know if you have anything to say about that. What do you think?
For term, is there like a conversion option to permanent coverage later without having to underwrite it again?
That's the thing. That's the problem about that again is that at the time you're getting your term policy, they're using your age, your health status to calculate, you know, your coverage, your premium. So you don't expect them to use the same, you know, health status when you were 25 years old, then you become 45 years old. They can't use the same, you know, the same one they used before. So if you want to convert, they're gonna place you in a different bracket. They're gonna place you based on your age. So that means your premium is gonna be increased. You know, it's gonna go up. If definitely, even if you did the term, right, and you paid every month, you paid your money for the whole like 30 years or 20 years, and you're still alive, then you wanna like renew. It's gonna be a different payment. You have to calculate, you know, your present condition, and guess what? You're gonna be paying more at the time, and all the money you paid before is all gone. You know, that's why those companies they benefit a lot from term. Some companies will tell you, hey, let you I offer just term, I offer just whole life, but if you want to do a different investment, I got you. They tell you, oh, bring some money to put to in stock market or whatever. That's variable there. It's variable. You know, you can put in $20 with them every day, but by the time you want to take it out, the market might crash. Then you're gonna be like, where's all my money I was putting in for this years? All the money it will be gone, or you know, less than what you put in. So it's volatile. That's a volatile market. So, you know, like I said, it's all about you looking at all the options and seeing which one is better, you know? Yeah.
What happens if I miss a premium, want to
Yeah.
reduce the coverage, or if I want to take a loan,
Yeah.
like say for instance, if cash value exists after
Yeah.
paying for a period of
Some,
time
yes,
and I want to
yeah.
take out a loan, or even if I want to surrender the policy, what happens?
Yeah, so that's what I was talking about, the autopilot thing. If you want to take out some money out of it, let's say you paid for some like 20 years or 10 years or 5 years, and you have some cash value in your policy, and you want to take out some cash to do some projects. You're allowed to do that depending on how much you have. But the best option is to take out as a loan. You know, because if you take it as a cash, as a cash value or as a withdrawal, it's gonna affect, you know, the compounding effects of your the whole of your money. It's
Yeah.
gonna reduce, yeah, your policy value. You know, if you take it as a withdrawal. But if you take it as a loan, you know, you just have to pay with the interest rate at the time, usually like 2% or something, low interest rate. Then you're paying back to yourself. You're basically paying back to yourself when you take it as a loan. So you're allowed to do that, just depending on how much is in your policy value, you know. And the loan comes out from the death benefits amount. So, you know, it's very easy to pay back at that, you know, in a case like that. Yeah.
Okay, I'll be interested in going into the technicalities in another meeting in the future. I'm curious, what got you into life insurance? Because you've been in the healthcare space as an RN, and that's a lucrative career, a rewarding career in itself. But you've chosen to get into this space. What What inspired that decision?
Well, that's a good one. Yeah. So I always tell people that when I meet them, I always tell them, look at the reason why I did it. I mean, to be frank with you, I've been hearing about this for a long time. I remember 2 years ago, somebody told me, my sister was telling me about it too. And at that time, I'm like, okay, life insurance, whatever, I'm good. Right now, I don't really, care about those things. It's okay, I'm going to build my empire and my kids are going to get whatever I have. I don't need to insure my, stuff like that. I've always been done. Now I'm good. But I got to the stage in life when I was working at an RN, right? Making a lot of money every year, money comes, money goes. So it felt like a routine to me. It felt like I'm always doing the same thing, then I started looking at other people's life, looking at my colleagues. Same thing. They're doing the same thing for 15 years. I've been there just 3 years and people have been coming back every day. Over time doing the, I'm like, so is this what I'm going to be doing? It seemed like it's never enough. And if you ask some of them, they'll tell you, oh, I'm doing this because when I retire. So that got me too. Okay, when I retire, what am I getting? When I feel like I want to stop working, what am I getting? And when do I want to retire? So those things got into me. Then I started wandering around and feel like, okay, I need to start planning my retirement early. I'm still in my 30s now. I feel like, okay, when I get to my at least 50, I should, be retiring. So that was what got into me. And I started sourcing for answers, trying to learn what the rich does, because I was sure that there's something those guys do. So I got into something like somebody was talking about this somewhere. Then I was like, okay, tell me about it. Tell me what is it. I want to learn more. So yeah, she told me about it. She told me everything, and that got into me too, because before then, I had a family friend who got diagnosed with cancer, right? At the time, young lady, right? She had a home. She had a home, a good career. She was working in the IT field. She was doing good. She had little kids, so. She got a house, she worked hard to get a house, then she got diagnosed with cancer, early stage of cancer. Then she got into chemotherapy. You know how chemo work, right? How chemo, affect people. They can't go back to work for the main time. This lady couldn't go back to work for a while. So she had to sell her, she had to sell her house. She actually sold her house. Sold her house because she couldn't meet up with the mortgage. Imagine you're not working. Your mortgage is about 6,000, 5,000. Young lady in her 40s. So she sold her house. And she, after some time, right, she got better, right? She got good. She beat cancer. She was done with chemo. She was okay. But again, she didn't have no home to stay. She was staying in an apartment. So it was like she had to start over again, start working hard again. Then she started trying, she was trying to get a policy like this, but she couldn't, she was not approved. It was too late for her. Then she started telling everybody then, okay, get something like this, get stuff. So that also got into me when I was learning about this. I'm like, wow, this is good. Like, we need to get this on time because you don't know when it's going to happen to us. We need to face the reality of life, and funny enough, so many families around. It happens. It's going on with them, but they won't tell you because they don't want. It's their private life, right? They don't want to share everything, So you won't even know unless you are close to them, So I thought of that. I thought of retiring early, I thought of putting money aside. So I thought of everything, And the last thing I thought of after I got my policy was to learn more and tell other people. Like me, that didn't know about it or knew about it, but don't understand it. So that was why I decided to get my license, and still learning more about it. I found out that it's a whole different field entirely that, that we need to learn about. So pretty much it. Yeah.
That's an inspiring story. I definitely, it resonates with me because after working for so many years, 16 years now as an RN. Wow. Sometimes you look back and you wonder what you've achieved because you spend so many hours investing in other people's businesses.
Exactly.
Like, we don't if you're not putting away, whether it's retirement money or a solid investment plan, the time can get away on you, and you turn around and you've spent all this time, you're getting older, right. You're getting tired, and you're in pain, and you're missing out on that snowball effect of compounding, like you explained. So one of the really tried and tested tool for long-term investments is life insurance. And an added benefit is this IUL that you explained that offers a cash option.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. Like, I also told your father, when we get older, right, when we're like 60s, 70s, 80s, sometimes at a time we feel like, oh, when we get to that stage, we want to be at home, relaxing, doing nothing. But then I found out that's not true. I found out it wasn't true because I was thinking about, oh, when you get old, you're just going to be tired, you know. But now, because my dad was an experience, my dad, when he was old, he still wanted to do stuff. He wanted to travel. He wanted to, you know.
How old was he?
He was 70 when he passed, right? He still wanted to build stuff, build houses back home. You know, even at that age, you know, and when I see people going for cruise ship, a lot of seniors do that, they still want to enjoy life, you know, it's never ending. So the thing is that at that age, we can't be working hard the way we're working hard right now, but we still want to enjoy life. You understand? Right. So, and again, right now, I would say some of us can't even survive 2-3 months without working. So how can we enjoy life when we're old, when we can't work at all, you know? So those are something that got into me, and I'm like, okay, this need to start, you know? It needs to start right away. There's no more waiting, you know? Money is going to come and go, but I need to have something like this.
So are you currently, you work for a company? Are you an agent? Are you an independent?
It's an independent thing. Independent contractors. Yeah, we have a group of people who teach each other, who learn from each other, who motivate us and get us all fired up to keep doing what we're doing. You know, so we have a team. I was like a team. That's help each other, you know, and again, it's not about, you know, meeting, it's making money in a team. It's not about like you meeting the most people you can meet, you know. Sometimes it's one person alone is enough, you know, to get fired up and, you know, get the goal you want to achieve. So we're all independent contractors pretty much.
Yeah, how do you guys meet? Just online, and do you have like events?
No, there's so many events. You know, we usually have big events. We have in-person events around the country. We just had one in Vegas. There was some months ago we had in Hawaii, where you meet a lot of people who has been doing this for many years, making millions of dollars already. They left their career to do it full time. Some people do it part-time, and even as medical doctors. So we do have big events. We do have small events. We do have a family table event, you know, where we come together in houses, you know, or we go eat somewhere and talk about everything. So, yeah, we have that. You know, it depends on how you are able to gather your team, you know. You can go on your contact, and you see your people in your contact, and they can be your team. As long as they understand you and they can relate, they can resonate from where you're coming from. You understand? So you don't know who's gonna be like, oh, if you should have told me this before. All right. You don't know who's gonna tell you that. You understand? And as long as you let them know, then that should be, you know, enough benefit for us to let our people know about this. And some of them I wanna like also like join the team, you know. also be able to, some of them cannot afford maybe the premium. They'll be like, oh, okay, I have my budget already. You know, then that's how they come in, get license, and even afford to get more premium for their family. Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, look, AJ, this is really good information. I'm interested. It has sparked my curiosity. I want to learn more. I think it's a very complex topic that will require a few of these meetings for us to discuss.
Yeah, it is.
Especially the specs. You know, there are like things that I have questions about. Like,
yeah,
you know, the things like the calculation, what my needs are, and illustration, policy summary, commission for you as the agent, things like that.
Right.
I'm curious to know about these things.
Yeah.
So. I want to know when you have time. I want us to talk more about this. I don't want to keep you long.
Oh no, yeah, you know, in that case, right? You know, like I said, I'm still, you know, I feel like I joined, like I started reading about this like some months ago. But initially, I was busy with work and everything. You know, moved to a new house. So with time, as time went on, I started to know more about it. You know. But still, if I really have a friend or a family that really need to know a lot or have a lot of questions, I always want them to meet somebody that was there before me, that has done a lot, you know, so that whatever, because my curiosity might not be the same as a curiosity. To be frank with you, right? To be frank with you, when I joined this thing, right? When I got my policy, right? I didn't ask too much questions. I started asking questions after everything, and still today I'm still happy I did, you know. So it's like I just felt like this is something, because all I needed to know is that you're licensed. I can check, verify your license, because I can choose, look up on Google, and it's a legit stuff. It's a policy that is backed by the US Constitution, you know. It's part of, you know, a model just like we have the 401k Roth IRA, is everything, you know. So that's all I needed to know. You know, that's all I need to know. Like, it's just like somebody telling me about 401k or somebody telling me about Roth. You understand? This is the same thing. So people don't even have 401k. They don't even know how to get it. They don't know who to give it to them. So that's why I didn't ask too much questions, because when I already saw what it's about, the few benefits I saw was enough for me. But for you, you might have more questions to ask. So that's why whenever we can meet again, of course, I would like you to meet somebody, you know, who can give you better answers than me. You understand, if possible.
You know, like I said, I'm interested in meeting and talking to people. I just wanted them to be open to recording the event, just like you are today, so that we can. This my goal is to run this podcast frequently, so that over time we're accumulating a suppository that will compound over time. Of data, information, not just spoken conversation that gets lost. It builds character. There's a skill that's required to speak in front of the camera and be articulate and convey your ideas while captivating interest. That's something that I want to build. And if I'm not doing that, it defeats my own goal. So.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that part. Yeah, that part. Everybody has their own, you know, what they want to do. You know, you saying this, and the person on that side is like, I don't mind. The person is like, oh no, I don't want recording. So I'm saying, oh, you know, so everybody has different, you know, choices, right? So we've spoken to like over like maybe even the person that brought me in might have spoken to like over 50 people, other people. Nobody have said this, you know, that they want to record it, right? So and maybe somebody has said it before, but she's like, no, right? So everybody has different choices, you know. For me personally, maybe when I get to a different stage, I might not allow this, but at least my stage, I'm okay with it, you know. And I don't blame anybody that says no or yes. So,
but I'm curious, what's the reason for not being open to being recorded?
Because if
I was a total stranger, it'll make me concerned about authenticity and transparency if you're avoiding being recorded.
Yeah, I could say, you know why I could say that? Because sometimes when you do something for so long, there are some information you get that for yourself, right? That you feel like it shouldn't be stolen, maybe or be copyrighted, you know, to mean something else. And that might be a reason. There might be some PowerPoint, you know, setup that's they might feel like, oh, this PowerPoint is meant for this group of people. You know, it's the same information we all have, but it might take them a lot of effort to make those things that to avoid it from being copyrighted, you know. And there might be some people's, you know, scenarios that she might be talking about that shouldn't be, you know, recorded too. You understand? So, I mean, recording is relative. You know, it's just like people recording in public. I'll be like, oh, don't record me. They don't like that in public. They can be recorded in public, but they're like, I don't want to be recorded, you know? So people have, you know, you'd be like, be wondering, but you're in public, right? Why don't you want me to record you? So they'll still tell you, no, don't record me in public. So again, you know, it's what it is. It could be personal reasons. You know, it could be reasons best known to them. So to me, what we were getting is we get information and go verify the information. That's what I think. Get whatever you can get and make your own research if you have any doubts. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. It's your show. It's your presentation. You can choose what you want to give and what you don't want to give. Especially when it's on a video. That's even the best, because you can say what you want and what you don't want.
Yeah, that's true.
Versus when it's in person. If it's in person and I'm recording you, it's kind of hard to edit yourself. But when you're on camera, you can edit yourself.
Yeah, we've had different like we just did a presentation at someone's home. Even when I did my housewarming, we did a presentation there too. So we recorded everything. You know, everybody had their phone recording everything, recorded beginning to the ending. Everything was recorded, you know. So I don't think there's anything particular of, you know, like, oh, authenticity of the, you know, what we're saying. I think it's just, you know, personal reasons in terms of preference. Yeah. So yeah. Hopefully, you know, you can sit back and just get information from wherever you want to get information, you know, being recorded or not recorded. You know, get information there. We can still do more of this and, you know, do more for that stuff too.
Yes. Again, thank you very much. I hope that you can find someone who's okay with being recorded now, is willing to record. That would be great.
All right.
But, you know, yeah, this was fun. I had fun. I enjoyed this conversation, and I believe that in the future we'll have even more informative conversations.
Give me 1 minute, please. Give me 1 minute. Let me pick up this.